You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, putting suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition.
Wherever you are, wherever you may be listening, it is Fight Night here on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Good evening, guys. It's Jordan Wahlberger here on 104.9 The Horn. Here on Fight Night, we're talking all things mixed martial arts. We're probably going to talk about a little bit of professional wrestling. Who you don't hear with me tonight is Eddie Cross. Eddie Cross had a family obligation, and so we wish him well. We wish his family well, and our thoughts and prayers go out to you, Eddie. Eddie, I know Eddie wanted to be here. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but last week, Eddie beat me. He beat me in our UFC 210 picks. That was so far out of my mind. I don't even remember back to who I had picked, to how he beat me. But Eddie, he sent me a text today. He wanted me to remind the people that he beat me this week or last week in our picks for UFC 210. And I know that him and Chad Hastings, they talked about UFC 210 last week. And what a crazy event. The whole Chris Weidman issue, beforehand with a towel. Obviously, people thinking that he could be the 206.2 pounds champion, as John Jones so eloquently put it. But yeah, Eddie did beat me. Guys, I am back this week. I was up in Canada last week, and so I wasn't able to. I was actually in Toronto. Probably could have made it to UFC 210 in Buffalo, but did not make the trip across the border back into the U.S., but either way, I'm back with you now, and I'm flying solo tonight. So we're going to talk about MMA. We're going to talk about UFC. Eddie's probably there's probably a Bellator or a Invicta card that we're probably not going to be talking about, and Eddie's going to give me a hard time about that. But we're going to be talking about UFC on Fox back in Kansas City. We're going to look ahead at UFC Nashville coming up this weekend. I might even sprinkle in a little bit about the WWE, and I know Eddie and Chad talked about the superstar shakeup. Sounds like that's going pretty well. We also so looking back this weekend, UFC on Fox, Demetrius Johnson versus Wilson Heiss. Demetrius Johnson ties the record for most successful title defenses. Ties Anderson Silva. I believe the record is now 10. That's the title. So that is the record that he has. Which is obviously a very impressive record. Demetrius Johnson has looked good, and he continues to look even better. Submission in round three over Wilson Heiss, and who's a black belt. I heard Demetrius Johnson this week talking about how he's a white belt, submitting a black belt, which obviously is very impressive. We now look back at these last 10. Wilson Heiss, Tim Elliott, Henry Cejudo, John Dodson, Kyoji Horiguchi, Chris Carriasso, Ali Bagotinov, Joseph Benavides, John Moraga, John Dodson, and then he won the belt from Joseph Benavides back in 2012. So since 2012, Demetrius Johnson has really just had a stranglehold. I mean, not more than a stranglehold. There is nobody that can compete with him in the UFC flyweight division at 125 pounds. You look at the fighter rankings, Demetrius Johnson clearly the number one pound-for-pound fighter on the roster, according to the UFC rankings. It has Demetrius Johnson, number one, Conor McGregor, number two, Daniel Cormier, number three. Then it goes Aldo Garbrandt, Stipe, and Jacek. But let's look at the flyweight rankings. Demetrius Johnson, Joseph Benavidez, he beat him twice. Henry Cejudo, he beat him once. Wilson Heiss, he's number three. Ray Borg, that's somebody we haven't seen on there, Jusier Formiga, Sergio Pettis, he's up and coming. Ian McCall, Dustin Ortiz, Tim Elliott, Brandon Moreno, John Moraga. So there are some people that actually that DJ hasn't beat yet in that top 10. But I don't see, there's no reason why we shouldn't see Demetrius Johnson get 11 wins or 11 title defenses, 12 title defenses, and so on. I mean, Demetrius Johnson is a freak of nature when it comes to. One of the questions, though, that people keep bringing up about Demetrius Johnson is the fact that the competition just is not there. You look at these guys, there's no, you know, there's no flyweight greats in the UFC. There are just no flyweight greats at all. People compare, you know, the greatest of all time, John Jones, Anderson Silva, Demetrius Johnson, George St. Pierre, Fedor. The people that they beat are future Hall of Famers, are, you know, are the greats of MMA. You look at Anderson Silva. Now, you know, he has that win over Derek Brunson, but before that, you know, he's got wins over Belfort, Maya, Griffin, Dan Henry. Now, he's got some really good wins. John Jones, obviously, that's the most impressive wins. Daniel Cormier, Glover Teixeira, Alexander Gustafsson, Belfort, Rashad, Machida, Rampage Jackson, Shogun. All people that, you know, multiple of those guys have won, you know, have held the title. Shogun has held the title. Rampage, Lyoto, Rashad, Vitor, you know, he had a title back in the day. Daniel Cormier, the current champion. John Jones, the competition that John Jones has compared to what they're not. John Jones could have 10 title defenses if it wasn't for John Jones. We all know that John is his own worst enemy. And John could come back at the end of July, get his title back. Now that brings up a question. Do you continue to add on consecutive title defenses for John Jones if he were to beat Daniel Cormier? Then his next fight, would that be a additional title defense? I'm not exactly sure how the record books look at that, because he never really lost his title. If he does get it back and starts defending it, we'll see what happens. The other problem with Demetrius Johnson, and this has nothing to do with how great he is, because a buy or a brand or ratings shouldn't be in there to determine how good a fighter someone is. We know Demetrius Johnson is very good. We also know that people don't watch him. That people aren't interested in watching Demetrius Johnson fight on TV. Now, on free TV, on Big Fox, on Fox Sports 1, on pay-per-view, he is continually a low draw. That's not his fault. It depends how much he's marketed and how much they're running ads. And I think I heard Ariel Helwani say it this week that when, and this is not a new thing, but when they a fight, or you can't promote the upcoming fights in 2 weeks because you got to promote this fight first. And UFC 210 with Daniel Cormier was just, so of course he's not going to get the play or the run that he needs to help make this a successful event. So there's blame on a lot of people. There's blame on the UFC. There's probably blame on Fox. There's blame on Demetrius Johnson because he doesn't draw. But there's just a lot of different factors when it goes into saying that Demetrius Johnson is not a draw. And unfortunately for him, he is not improving that people will tune in. So it's interesting. Demetrius Johnson, he's in the ring talking about how he needs or he wants a... Demetrius Johnson is not going to get a seven-figure payday if people aren't going to tune in. The reason that Conor McGregor, any of those guys, get these paydays that they do is that people want, they are tuning in, they're willing to pay money. And so, yeah, in return, they're getting these big paydays. If they had the same type of return that Demetrius Johnson had, they would not be getting these paydays. And so, unless he has someone that, Demetrius Johnson, he's just so good that there is not a story at flyweight which makes it worthwhile for people to think, oh, is this really a chance? Is there a chance that Demetrius Johnson is going to lose? People just don't see that. They don't think that Demetrius Johnson has a chance of losing, so they're not going to tune in. But if there was someone out there that engaged him in trash talking and he engaged back, I mean, John Dodson tried to engage him, and Demetrius was just, I'll settle this in the cage, and he did. But still, people didn't care to watch. Demetrius Johnson is a great fighter, but he's never going to break in to, for me, the greatest of all time, until he has those right opponents that really bring the best out of him and all kind of sides of him, but can really challenge him. And that's a blame on the division. There's just not people that fans care about in flyweight division. Now, if you were to fight Cody Garbrandt or TJ Dillashaw or Dominic Cruz, that would be something to pay attention to. So let's go back to the rest of UFC on Fox. You had Rose Namajunas defeat Michelle Waterson. Second round, submission. That kick to the face was incredible. Rose looked very poised. She looked very strong. It was just a complete performance from Nama Yunus. After the fight, she was calling out Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Obviously, we know that next month in Dallas, Jędrzejczyk is going to be fighting Jessica Andrade for the 115-pound title, the strawweight title. Now, Rose, before this fight, she came up. She had that split decision loss to Katarzyna Kowalkiewicz. That win obviously propelled Kowalkiewicz into the title fight at UFC 205 with Jędrzejczyk. Before that, she had three wins. She had a win over Tisha Torres, Paige VanZant, and Angela Hill. Really, since that loss to Carla Esparza, her only loss was to Katarzyna Kowalkiewicz. If you remember coming out of The Ultimate Fighter, Dana White said that there was a fighter on there that reminded him of Ronda Rousey. This was Rose. They were talking about Rose, and I think they had high hopes for Rose, that she could be somebody that could be a dominant threat at strawweight, which is crazy that Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who wasn't even on the show, has been this dominating factor at this division. Or besides Carla Esparza, the only champion has been Jędrzejczyk, and she's just looked great these last few years. Rose Namajunas, she wants that fight. She doesn't care who it's against. If it's against Jędrzejczyk, if Andrade wins in Dallas. Obviously, for her, she'd probably want Jędrzejczyk to win, because if Andrade wins, I wouldn't be surprised if they give Jędrzejczyk, because she's been so dominant, an immediate rematch. So obviously, she doesn't want that, because she wants to get that title fight. And she's probably well-deserved of having that. It was a complete fight and performance from her, and she just looks so impressive every single time. Another on the fight, Robert Whittaker, really shocked the world. I mean, I didn't see Robert Whittaker beating Jacare. I remember, so here in Austin, we had some issues with our cable company, and I remember coming back and seeing that Whittaker beat him, and before I could go back and watch the fight, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I was surprised that Whittaker, who, you know, honestly, he beat Derek Brunson last time. He had just kind of broken into really the upper echelon at middleweight. He was ranked number 6. We haven't seen this week's rankings come out just yet. But prior to beating Derek Brunson, he beat Rafael Nadal, Uriah Hall, Brad Tavares, Clint Hester, up at middleweight. So he moved up to middleweight. Those are the people that he beat. We knew that he was a good fighter and a good striker, but never knew that he was going to be able to. I didn't see that happen. I didn't see him beating Jacare, especially the way that he did. Now, Jacare, he got his contract the night before. You saw a video of him. People, you know, you could point to that as maybe a reason why, Jacare got his big contract that he wanted. And then after that, he loses. Good, you know, now you look back, good thing he got that contract. But Jacare, he is a top fighter. And unfortunately, he is also a little bit older. And so that's going to hurt him and probably take him out of ever really fighting for a UFC title. I think that's my opinion, is that at 37 years old, in a very crowded middleweight division, mostly crowded because Michael Bisping is fighting, taking that money fight and fighting GSP, you still have Yoel Romero, who's deserving. You have Gegard Mousasi. You got Luke Rockhold. You would think that Romero will get that title fight first. Luke Rockhold has been talking and asking for that fight since that Whittaker win. He'd like to fight Whittaker. I think that makes sense. You put Rockhold versus Whittaker. Not sure what you do with Mousasi either. Mousasi, he did fight or test out free agency, or he is a free agent now. He did fight his last fight, so we will see what happens to him. But if there's a logjam at the top of middleweight. So either way, Robert Whittaker, he's got to take a fight before getting that title fight against the winner of Michael Bisping or George St. Pierre. Other things of note at UFC on Fox, Aljamain Sterling defeated Augusto Mendez. Tim Elliott, he beat Luis Smolka. And then Alexander Volkov, the former Bellator champion, defeated Roy Nelson. So Roy Nelson, who has been kind of the perennial gatekeeper, he lost to Alexander Volkov. Volkov has wins, or excuse me, he has losses to Chet Congo, Tony Johnson, both in Bellator. So obviously that's a big loss for Roy Nelson, who has been that perennial gatekeeper in the UFC. Guys, that is looking back at UFC on Fox this weekend. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about The Ultimate Fighter. We're back right here on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. You are listening to Fight Night. Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I am your host, Jordan Wahlberger. Not missing tonight is Eddie Cross. He is unable to be with us tonight, and hoping that all is well with Eddie and his family. Our prayers and thoughts go out to him. But guys, tonight, The Ultimate Fighter Season 25 is back. Coming back to Fox Sports 1, it's called Redemption. Fighters that have previously been on The Ultimate Fighter, fighters that have previously been in the UFC, one that's currently in the UFC, are back fighting on The Ultimate Fighter. Also, what's interesting is you have Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw. Or TJ Dillashaw, they're the coaches. So an interesting coaching team. Might be one of the reasons I really want to watch this season. And I will probably tune in tonight because I want to see the dynamic between Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw. Now, we know that both Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw, these are both guys from Team Alpha Male, back fighting under Uriah Faber's, or out of Uriah Faber's gym in Sacramento, California. We all know the history there. TJ Dillashaw comes up. Uriah Faber finds TJ Dillashaw when he's in college, recruits him over to fight at for Team Alpha Male. Dwayne Lugwood comes in to be the head coach. Dwayne Lugwood, Uriah Faber, they have some problems getting along, but along the way, TJ Dillashaw wins a UFC title with the help of the entire Alpha Male team, but also, you know, Dwayne Ludwig. Things kind of go sour with Ludwig. He decides to leave Team Alpha Male, and he moves and starts his own gym in Colorado. TJ Dillashaw, he goes with him. Cody Garbrandt, pretty outspoken about Dillashaw, about him leaving, upset about him. He remains, he stays at Team Alpha Male. He gets his title shot. He beats Dominick Cruz after TJ Dillashaw loses his title back in January of 2016 to Dominick Cruz. End of the year, Garbrandt beats Dominick Cruz, gets that title, sets up for a match between TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt. That's a great matchup. That's a matchup that I think we're all interested in and we want to see because the dynamic between these guys, these are guys who know each other, who fought on the same camp, who have spent many times together. They've been sparring partners. They've been training partners. And so there's a personal issue that is going on between these guys. Cody Garbrandt has been very outspoken on TJ Dillashaw. You know, calling him we know what Conor McGregor called him, that snake in the grass, but saying that, you know, he's a traitor, that he left the camp, that he's not welcome back, just like Uriah Faber said, but he's not welcome, that he would like to fight him. And so it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic. And we've seen the commercials for this season of Tough. I think there's someone like choking Dillashaw. But things seem to get, maybe I have that backwards, but see, things seem to get very tense. So I think that drama, I think I'm interested in that. I want to see that fight. And I heard that fight is actually going to be on UFC, I believe it's 213, part of the International Fight Week. We know that. But I think it just got announced that it's going to officially be on the pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to be the main fight on the pay-per-view, but obviously if Dillashaw is getting points, if Garbrandt's getting some points, that's where you want to be. You want to be on the one of the marquee events of the summer for the UFC. So we mentioned this before. You got Cody Garbrandt, Uriah Faber, Danny Castillo, Fabio Prado, and Robert Meese for Team Garbrandt. On the other side, you got TJ Dillashaw, Dwayne Ludwig, Lester Bowling, Elliot Marshall, and Matt Brown. So pretty good coaches on both sides. Interesting dynamics on both sides. But here are some of the fighters. You got Seth Baczynski, Mehdi Bagdad, Justin Edwards, Eddie Truck Gordon, Haider Hassan, Tom Galichio, James Krause, who actually is a UFC fighter. We'll get back to him in a second. Diego Lima, Ramzi Najem, Gilbert Smith, Joe Daddy Stevenson, Jesse Taylor, and Hector Urbina. Now, James Krause, that's what's interesting. James Krause, current UFC fighter. So the rest of these guys, they were in the UFC, no longer in the UFC now. This is their chance for redemption to come back. James Krause, he is, you know, he had a fight back in, he was a fight expecting to happen back in November at UFC Fight Night 99. He pulled out of the fight with a torn hamstring. He's got wins over Shane Campbell and Darren Cruikshank. So he's on a 2-fight winning streak in the UFC. One fight in 2016 in February. One fight in 2015 in July. Before that, he has three losses. One to Valmir Lazaro, Jorge Masvidal, which, you know, that's no slouch. And then a loss to Bobby Green. So not terrible losses. Valmir, that's, you know what I say, no Wikipedia pages. But the other two, you know, Bobby Green, Jorge Masvidal, not bad. But this guy, so James Krause, they're bringing him back. I'm not sure what he gets to redeem if he wins, the Ultimate Fighter. You would hope that, though, he feels like he's got to have a lot to prove. If he's on the Ultimate Fighter this season, and he's a current UFC fighter, fighting against these guys that want to get back into the UFC, you would feel like there's more pressure on him to be successful than anybody else. Simply because he's a current UFC fighter, and he wants to prove that he should be a current UFC fighter, and he's better than these guys. So you would feel that James Krause has a lot to prove on the Ultimate Fighter this season. So I don't know if I will watch the entire season. I will definitely check out. I'm going to set my DVR, which I don't think I've done for the past few years. I'm going to set my DVR to watch the Ultimate Fighter. I will probably watch tonight. But after that, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I definitely want to see the interaction between Garbrandt, Uriah Faber, and TJ Dillashaw. And probably Dwayne Lugwe as well. I think all of those will be interesting to see the dynamic that they put on the show. So we will see. Excited to see Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw. That's one of the fights I'm looking forward to most in the summer. But well, it all starts right now on The Ultimate Fighter. So we'll see what happens. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest news right here on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. You're listening to Fight Night.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo, what up with that? What up with that? Yes,
all right, we are back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. You are listening to Fight Night. So SNL this last week, you had Jimmy Fallon, you had Harry Styles, pretty good episode. There were some funny things. I liked the Family Feud. You had Harry Styles being Mick Jagger. Obviously, it's always great to see Melissa McCarthy. Now, we don't get SNL back for a few weeks, not till Chris Pine comes back on May 6th. That is Melissa McCarthy hosting. It's interesting. They've had Alec Baldwin, who's been on a ton of shows this season. They had him host a show. Now, Melissa McCarthy, who's been on, you know, three or four, I think three episodes now, she'll come back and she'll host. And then finally, back on May 20th, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, which I have not seen is The Fate of the Furious. I have not seen The Fate of the Furious yet. But, you know, I think those movies always... The Fast and the Furious movies always deliver. So let's get into the news. So it's back. We haven't talked about Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor for a while. That was kind of the running tallies. How many weeks can we go without mentioning Floyd or Conor? So Dana White appeared this Wednesday on the Hearst with Colin Cowherd. He says that he is working on hammering out a deal with McGregor this week. And then in the next couple weeks, he's going to be able to sit down with Team Mayweather and really knock it out. Now, we've heard rumors. Well, first, we heard a rumor that June 10th was going to be the date. There's two dates earmarked at the T-Mobile Center in Las Vegas. June 10th and September 16th. June 10th, probably not going to happen. We are less than 2 months away from that date. You would want to have at least 2 months to promote that, especially if it's going to be the huge box office attraction that we all believe it's going to be. September 16th, if it's going to happen in 2017, that seems to be the date that people believe. Obviously, they are still far away, but September 16th is enough time after Connor's baby, who is expected to be born next month. It gives them enough time to promote the fight, and it allows for full training camps. So Dana White said that he thinks that we get McGregor's side in the next couple of days, and then he goes sits down with Team Mayweather. Cowherd asked him about money. And we know that that Mayweather believes that kind of he is the draw here. He is the A side. And probably most people would agree with that, that, you know, for all the things that Mayweather has done, he is currently the A side of this fight. But let's be honest, McGregor is a huge draw. And the reason that this fight could be even bigger than the Pacquiao fight is because of the MMA fans or the McGregor fans or the just the general interest of what happens when you put an MMA fighter up against the top boxer. Now, I think we all believe what's going to happen. We think that Floyd Mayweather is going to make quick, not quick work, but make work of Conor McGregor. But we want to see if Conor has that chance. So Dana White said that it depends how much in regards to how much each guy will get paid. It depends on how much the fight sells. And if the fight sells as well as I think it can, Floyd makes a little north of $100 million and Conor makes $75 million. Now, the real question is, what is the UFC taking in there? I think I've gone out a couple times and said that I believe that the UFC and Mayweather Promotions should be in this 50-50. And then it's up to them, the UFC, to decide how much they pay Conor McGregor. They get a contract. They say, okay, you make $75 million. Team Mayweather, Mayweather Productions, or Mayweather Promotions, they get their check for half of the whatever it is. They determine who gets what, and most likely all that money goes to Floyd. So I'm interested in saying, so if Floyd makes a little over 100, and if Conor makes 75, that's $175 million. Now, we know that Floyd and Pacquiao made way more than that for their fight. And we think that this fight is going to sell more than both of more than that fight. Does that mean that the UFC is making, you know, $200 or $300 million on its own? I don't think that's enough for Floyd Mayweather. Floyd needs to be compensated accurately if he's going to come out and fight. $100 million gets him to look at it. Then you got to start talking about buys after that. Floyd should not be making $100 million after it's all said and done, after we look at the pay-per-view buys. The UFC is being too selfish and taking clearly too much. Now, $100 million is nothing to sniff at, but if I was Floyd Mayweather, I would say, look, I want a 50-50 split between Mayweather Promotions and the UFC because that's who's going to be promoting it. It's going to be promoted by Mayweather Promotions and the UFC. It's a co-promotion. So we'll see if the UFC decides to go that route. All right, next you have Chris Cyborg. Her contract is actually set to, well, she's actually got two fights left on her contract. But there's a clause in her contract that states that the deal can expire on October 2017, regardless of how many fights are left on it. So while she does have two more, I guess there was an expiration date or a date that those fights should have been done by. Now, Cyborg came out a few weeks ago and said, hey, release me or get me a fight. Now, we know the UFC is coming to Anaheim on July 29th for UFC 214. Now, Jermaine DeRandami, I don't think I still even know what's going on with her hand. It's broken. It's not broken. I got to go see a doctor. I still have not seen a doctor yet. I have not heard the latest on her. Is she going to be ready by the end of July? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But I would think that you have got to get Cyborg in that title fight against Jermaine DeRandami if you want to keep the UFC women's featherweight division around. Holly Holm, she just got a fight named announced versus Vetch Kohea, back at 135 pounds. So she's not fighting at featherweight. Chris Cyborg vacated her Invicta title. Megan Anderson is the official champion. As of right now, she's not fighting at featherweight. So it's interesting. We're not exactly sure where the UFC featherweight division goes. I would assume that she gets that fight. She fights at UFC 214. But I would got to think that if, you know, it sounds like Jermaine Derendami, I'm not saying she's scared of Cyborg. She definitely doesn't want to fight her. She'd rather fight somebody else first. But we'll see. Now, speaking of UFC 214, Daniel Cormier this week on Twitter, maybe it was Instagram, he posted that July 29th, I will be in Anaheim, and I'm bringing my UFC title with me. The question is, which one of them going to get it? Is it going to be Jones or Manoa? So Jimmy Manoa and Daniel Cormier, they've been going back and forth talking trash on Twitter all week. Now, we know these guys want to fight each other. That's not really typical of Jimmy Manoa to see him talking trash the way he has been. But he's trying to get a fight. He's trying to get that title fight. Now, Dana White has come out and said that it's up to John Jones. If John Jones wants a tune-up fight, he's going to get it. He can have a tune-up fight, or he can be put right into the title against Daniel Cormier. Now, we have heard a little back and forth that if it is Jimmy Manoa, Daniel Cormier is going to fight at UFC 213. If it is John Jones, he'd go out to UFC 214. But based on kind of what Cormier tweeted this week, it just sounds like, hey, July 29th is the date. Whoever it is, let's make that happen. If it's Jones, if it's Manoa, that's fine. But I'm going to be there, you know, regardless. So we'll see what happens. Finally, the last bit of news I got tonight. World Series of Fighting has now become the Professional Fighters League. So the Professional Fighter League, it's going to be very much like the old International Fight League. It's going to be like a major league of fighting. In that, they're fighters. They're each going to get the seasons will run for 10 months. There's going to be 7 different weight classes. And so each fighter will compete in 3 regular season fights. At the end of the 10-month season, those records from their regular season fights, they're going to be seeded and go into a playoff scenario. From the playoffs, they go to a championship round. And at the end of the day, we will have a, you know, ultimate winner of who wins the Professional Fighters League. Who's the PFL champion? They say that each of the 7 weight class winners, they will get a $1 million purse. And then there'll be a $3 million additional bonus that's going to be shared between regular season and playoff competitors. But there wasn't some specific details about those payouts right now. What's really interesting is you actually have champions right now in World Series of Fighting. And what's going on with them? Are they are these champions going to be, you know, stripped of their belts for the PFL? Are they going to have at the end of the championship, is this going to be like Bellator where you kind of go through the season and then you can fight the champion? Do you get a trophy at the end of the year and then you have to give it back and you're no longer you're the 2018 PFL champion for that weight class? So this is going to happen in 2018. So it should be interesting. So it says it kicks off in January. It's going to hold, they still have Rules of Fighting, will still be holding 4 events in 2017. Those will not be under the PFL banner. All right, as far as fights go, we mentioned Holly Holm versus Vetch Kohea. We also have Teruto Ishihara versus Gray Maynard at the Tough 25 finale. And then Marlon Moraes versus Rafael Assuncao at UFC 212. So those are the new fights, guys. That's what's up with that. We will be right back. We're going to talk all about UFC Nashville when we come right back.
Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that.
right, we are back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. You are listening to Fight Night. That's right, this weekend, Cub Swanson, Artem Lobov, headlining UFC Fight Night Nashville. From the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee, this is going to be on Fox Sports, I believe. And not a terrible card, kind of an interesting headliner. Cub Swanson fresh off that win over over Duhu Choi at UFC 206. Artem Lobov, you know, he's got a win over Teruto Ishihara, a win over Chris Avila, but that's really it in the UFC. Before that, he's got a loss to Alex White and a loss to Ryan Hall. Now, Artem Lobov, the Russian Hammer, he is a an associate, a friend of one Conor McGregor. He fights out of SBG. His coach is John Kavanaugh. You almost think that the UFC, now Artem Lobov, who is not, I believe, not even ranked when it comes to featherweight. Not in the UFC rankings. Headlining event against number 4, Cub Swanson. Obviously, there was a lot of options. There's probably a lot of options that Cub Swanson could have fought against. But Artem Lobov. Now, this is not something, I can't guarantee this, but I've got to think that the UFC, I don't know, is Conor McGregor going to be in Nashville this weekend? I sure think that the UFC hopes he is. That the UFC is hoping on some of that star power of Conor McGregor to permeate onto Artem Lobov. Maybe he's in his corner. Maybe he's sitting ringside. That should sell tickets in Nashville to get people the chance to see Conor McGregor in person. We know that Conor McGregor has been in the cage with Artem before, after a fight, after a win. That he has been at his fights. You kind of wonder, why is Artem Lobov getting a UFC main event against Cub Swanson? I've got to think it's because the UFC is hoping that Conor McGregor makes an appearance. And based on the fact that Dana White thinks he's going to knock down the negotiations with Conor McGregor this week, you've got to think he's going to be there. So maybe it's a, Conor, we're going to put your boy, Artem, which is the reason that he did the Ultimate Fight in the first place, was to get Artem into the UFC. That's the rumor. We're going to give him a main event fight. We'd like you to be there. Then afterwards, we'll talk business. Now, not the same way he used to talk with Uncle Frank, but they're going to talk a little bit of business. Cub Swanson, fresh off his win, like we mentioned, over Duhu Choi. Before that, he has wins over Tatsuya Kawajiri, Hakran Diaz. But then we know he had those losses to Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar. That loss to Frankie Edgar right here in Austin, Texas. That was back in 2014. That was a fun fight. Especially a fun fight to be cageside for. Also on the card, you have Ally Aquinta, who hasn't fought since that event in Fairfax, Virginia, where he beat Jorge Masvidal. Now, that was a split decision, and a lot of people saw that fight going multiple ways. That was back in 2015. That was that exchange with the crowd where they were booing him. Diego the Lionheart Sanchez. We've had the nightmare. We've had the dream. We now have the Lionheart. I think we had the nightmare. We had the dream. We had the nightmare. Now we have the Lionheart. He's going to be fighting Ally Aquinta. Now, we know that Ally Aquinta and Diego Sanchez, both guys that love to fight, that bring it in the cage. Diego's coming off that win over Marcin Held. Before that, he's got a loss to Joe Lozon, a win over Jim Miller back in 2016. But Diego just fought back in November, so obviously he has fought a lot sooner than Ally Aquinta has fought. My pick, obviously, for fight of the night this week. You have Ovince St. Preux fighting Marcus Rogerio de Lima. John Dotson fighting Eddie Wineland. That should be a fun fight. Joe Lozon fighting on this card versus Stevie Ray. And a fight that kicks off the night, you got Jake Ellenberger fighting Platinum Mike Perry. Now, that's a fun one. This is not a bad card. I think before we talked about Cindy Dandois fighting Alexis Davis, Brian Barberina fighting Joe Proctor. Those are on the Fight Pass prelims. On Fox Sports 2, you've got the Talis latest, Sam Alvey, Dustin Ortiz versus Brandon Moreno. Jessica Pena, she's going to be fighting this weekend. But that main card is not bad. I mean, it's a little surprising to see Artem as the main event, but Ally Quinta versus Diego Sanchez, that's a fun fight. It's a fun fight to watch. OSP versus Rogério de Lima, John Dodson versus Eddie Wineland. I mean, I'm excited to see those fights, and I will definitely be tuning in this weekend. One thing I did want to check, I feel like Ovince St. Preux, who's fighting Rogério de Lima, it feels like he just fought. There's so many fights going on kind of right now. Yeah, he just fought back in February, back in Houston, that Super Bowl weekend, when he fought Volkan Ozdemir. I think Volkan, I think he's a top five heavyweight, which is, a top five light heavyweight. Kind of crazy to think. Volkan Ozdemir, top. That was his UFC debut as well. So Ovince St. Preux kind of making a quick turnaround. That's only, 2 months. And he's fighting Rogério de Lima. So that should be interesting. But there are some stakes. There's some stakes in there. There's some stakes at the bantamweight division. Dodson versus Eddie Wineland. But really, Jake Ellenberger versus Mike Perry. That's a fight I want to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing that fight. That should be fun. Now, we know that originally we thought that Damian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal, that was going to be headlining this fight. But that fight got moved to UFC 211. UFC 211 in May, stacked fight card. That's actually the next fight. So we have a few fight weekends. So the end of April, there's no fight. That first week in May, I think it's the 6th, there's no fight card. We come back at UFC 211 on May 13th. So that'll be that fight's awesome. Tough. It's Mother's Day weekend. It's kind of tough for me to tell my wife, hey, I'm going to be in Dallas that weekend. And, happy Mother's Day. So I know Eddie's going to go to the fight. And I think Stu Myrick is going to be at the fight. So that's going to be a good time there. Let's make some picks, though. Let's pick for this weekend. I'll even make Eddie's picks for him as well. Eddie doesn't know I'm going to make his picks, but I kind of think the way that I think Eddie will go. Cub Swanson, Artem Lobov, we're both going to go with Cub Swanson. Al Iaquinta versus Diego Sanchez. I'm going to pick Iaquinta. Eddie, he would have gone with Diego Sanchez. Now, we'll have to find out later if we're accurate. OSP versus Marcos Rogério de Lima. We're both taking OSP. John Dodson versus Eddie Wineland. I think we are both taking John Dodson. Joe Lozon versus Stevie Ray, not Stevie Ray of Harlem Heat. Different Stevie Ray. And I'm sure that joke has been played out over and over again. But, it's a good one. I think we're both taking Joe Lozon. Then Jake Ellenberger versus Platinum Mike Perry. I would take Jake Ellenberger. Eddie, he'd be taking Platinum Mike Perry. So those are the picks. Those are UFC Fight Night Nashville. Should be a fun night of fights. Definitely watch it. Eddie would tell you to watch the prelims. I would tell you, hey, there's probably some other good things on TV. Basketball right now. Clippers 1-1 against the Jazz. That final shot this weekend when Joe Johnson kind of sunk that dagger into the Clippers. Warriors looking good. Celtics, that's interesting, down 2-0 as of right now. Really interested in seeing how those the Grizzlies kind of bounce back against the Spurs. We all heard Coach Fizdale's remarks. I think it's take data for that or take that for data. I think the line, they're not going to rook us. Those are two pretty good lines. Sounds like they got a $30,000 fine. He got a $30,000 fine that the Grizzly players are going to pay for. So that's impressive. So, but lots of good things happening. Obviously, WWE pretty happy with the superstar shakeup. SmackDown looks really good. Seeing Kevin Owens in there doing the open Face of America challenge, kind of following the example of John Cena, which, open challenge that John Cena had with the U.S. title. That was great. Kevin Owens kind of taking a playbook there. Looking forward to seeing the New Day and Charlotte Flair kind of continue to see how they'll do on SmackDown. Not sure what's going on right now with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, or the fact that Jinder Mahal is the number one contender. I mean, that's, we'll see. But obviously, there's a lot of good things, good ways to go. Looking forward to Payback. But guys, that is it tonight. Go have a great week. Go enjoy the fights this weekend. UFC Nashville. We will be back. Hopefully, Eddie will be back next week. We'll be talking all things UFC on Fight Night. UFC Fight Night Nashville. Breaking that down. And we'll get ready for, in a few weeks, UFC 211. Guys, have a great night. We will see you next week.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.